Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, it is day one of Civic Media's Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest, not just in Wisconsin, but now multi-state Text to Win contest test. You're going to need the Civic Media app, which you can get for free wherever you get your apps from. Just search for Civic Media, download that puppy, and then text in this word that I'm about to drop to enter to win daily prizes, including $200 in cash and gold jewelry, and one grand prize, including two club-level indoor seats to Green Bay versus Minnesota, a home game on November 23rd at 2025 this year at noon, plus a gas card to get you to the game, a $1,500 value. The word to win and get entered this hour is WIDE, W-I-D-E, as in the Green Bay Packers have wide appeal. I call it America's team. It ain't the Cowboys. It's the Packers. Let's be honest. Nobody really likes Jerry Jones. I digress. Got to bring you a little bit more breaking news before we go back to our fine guest this half hour. There are two infant deaths that have been linked to whooping cough in Louisiana. State leaders describe it as the worst whooping cough outbreak in the past 30 years. Parents in that state are now stunned to learn of more than 360 confirmed cases of the infection. That news breaking on the same day that Donald Trump, basically in a rambling, nonsensical, I don't know, stream of consciousness, completely devoid of any scientific reality or proof or even reference to reliable studies that were published in peer-reviewed journals, has now said to people, don't take Tylenol repeatedly. Today. That, of course, coming on top of the CDC's vaccine panel, jimmying with the childhood vaccine schedule, limiting the availability of COVID-19 vaccines. Such a mess. Those meetings last Thursday and Friday I discussed and played a little bit of sound of in our first hour. It sounded like people that had no idea what their actual job is. I'm just saying, my opinion. Didn't know how to run the meeting, didn't know how to make motions clearly. People didn't know what they were voting on. People talked about anecdotes. Anecdotes don't make public health policy. If you missed any of that discussion with Professor Schwaber, check it out. It will be available after this program ends at 6 o'clock, wherever you get your podcasts from. But right now, I've got a great guest. His name is Luke Baumgartner, a research fellow at George Washington University's Program on Extremism. They research domestic violence, extremism, white supremacist movements, and the role of military veterans in political violence. He himself is a veteran. Luke, thanks for sticking around with all of us. And folks, you want to get in on this conversation, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Luke, we were talking before the break a little bit about the idea that there are facts and researchers like yourselves at apolitical, completely nonpartisan, university-based research agencies have been looking at extremism. We talked about in the first hour that the National Institutes of Justice scrubbed a study from their website last week because it frankly contradicted the claims that many in the MAGA regime or movement were making that the violence and the violent extremism is coming from the left. Professors from the University of Maryland, specifically Professor Gary LaFrie, has studied this for quite a long time. You actually interned with the Department of Criminology and Criminal Justice, their National Consortium for the Study of Terrorism and Responses to Terrorism. He has done a lot of research here. He's concluded that their analysis shows that right-wing actors are significantly more violent than left-wing actors. There's research from the Cato Institute showing that. There's research from the Anti-Defamation League. And your research, sir, from George Washington University, has also shown that there is much more violent extremism separate from rhetoric, actual violent extremist acts coming from the far right. One of the talking points of guys like both Charlie Kirk and Tucker Carlson, but that you frequently hear either called out by name or described, is this concept called the Great Replacement Theory, which basically tells white people, you're being eliminated. If you can define it, and you recently wrote a paper about this, we'll put the link to that paper in our show notes for today. What is the Great Replacement Theory, and why did you study it since you are a researcher into domestic violent extremism?
So, real briefly and succinctly, the Great Replacement Theory is a racist, anti-Semitic conspiracy theory that posits that there is some sort of grand cabal of liberal elites across the world, which is typically a dog whistle for Jews, and that the cabal exists to essentially eliminate the white race. And that is, when you get down to brass tacks, that's what the conspiracy is. And they do this through a number of mechanisms. They purposely contort world capitalism, financial systems to, purposely discriminate against white people, or they allow increased numbers of non-white immigrants into traditionally white homelands, quote unquote, the U.S., Europe, those sorts of places. Encourage interracial marriage and having interracial kids, thereby diluting the total number of white Europeans that are available to produce white European children. So essentially it is this conspiracy of eliminationism.
And we see glimpses of this in policy discourse today from the Trump administration. There's a very heavy pro-natalist movement, and that is one of the offshoots that you just mentioned, or manifestations of the Great Replacement Theory, which is, ladies, you are to stay home, be subservient to your husbands, and have lots of nice European white babies, because we're under this existential global conspiracy theory that is trying to eliminate white people from basically their, quote, God-inherited homelands. Again, this is nonsense, of course, and is fundamentally rooted in long-standing, virulent, racist, both themes, made-up scientific, quote, research that goes back hundreds of years, trying to defend, frankly, the enslavement of peoples and the stripping of rights from peoples. We saw versions of this in the 1930s in Germany. It has been around in iterations for a long time. Why, given that you study violent extremism, why study this thing that's basically supposed to be like a cuckoo conspiracy theory relegated to the fringes of the dark web and podcast spaces? Why study this if it's just a theory?
It's a theory that has inspired numerous acts of, horrific mass violence, terrorism, to be, pretty blunt about it. The first one that was probably very explicitly inspired by it was the attack in 2011 in Norway, where Anders Breivik killed 77 people because he thought his government was complicit in the replacement of white Europeans with an increasingly Islamicized, quote unquote, Europe. And he believed in an offshoot of the Great Replacement Theory called Eurabia, whereby European nations have this secret pact with Arab nations in exchange for oil. Europeans let in more Arabs and Muslims into the continent. So that was the first one. And Anders Breivik went on to inspire at least five or six other very prominent attacks. Just a few of them happened here in the U.S. There was Dylann Roof. There was Patrick Crucius. There was Peyton Gendron. And probably most famously was the attack in New Zealand in March 2019 by Brenton Tarrant. So it has a legacy of violence.
It's interesting, that attack in New Zealand, if I'm remembering my political history correctly, led to some of the world's most restrictive gun laws. The president that oversaw those gun laws and that reform effort in New Zealand lost the office, but they've seen basically a ceasing of any kind of mass violence that would fall under this rubric of violent extremism and terrorism in their country since those laws were adopted. Similar happened in Australia around that same time. Are we seeing violent extremism that is being motivated by the Great Replacement Theory and its rhetorical progeny here in the United States? Is this a problem here at home?
It is. It's not to the point where we have lone actors going out and shooting up Walmarts. Not so much anymore. That possibility and that threat is still absolutely there. And it exists, and I see it pretty much every day on Telegram, Discord, and all these other places where white supremacists and neo-Nazis like to gather away from the sunlight. But more so, you kind of see it in government policy. You see it with heavy-handed immigration laws, with this goal of deporting 1 million people a year, and overwhelmingly, those people that are targeted are what we would consider, you know, non-white. They're Hispanics. They speak a different language. They come from different parts of the world. They have a culture that is supposedly clashing with America's, according to, you know, the border czar, according to Stephen Miller, and all these other people within the administration that have this, insane goal of deporting 1 million people a year. And that's all inspired by that.
I'm sorry. I wanted to ask a quick question. Do you consider the Tree of Life mass shooting? Do you consider the Walmart shooting in Texas to be either directly or indirectly in part inspired by some of this great replacement theory rhetoric that seems to now basically dominate and define the MAGAverse?
Yes, absolutely. If you look at Tree of Life, the shooter believed that one of the organizations or the charities that was housed or associated with that synagogue was purposely assisting immigrants coming into the U.S. for that purpose of replacing white people.
So we do see this here, and you know, Tucker Carlson, Charlie Kirk, they explicitly sort of promoted this concept in various pieces, bits, and forms. I believe Tucker Carlson has actually called it out by name in his work, both in podcast and on broadcast. Let's take a couple of callers briefly. Ali, say hello to Luke. What's your question or comment? Ali, you there? What's your question or comment? We'll go back to Ali. Cam, what's your question or comment for Luke and I?
Hey guys, I was wondering how much overlap is there between sites like 4chan and Discord and Telegram and any of the other chans with any of these conspiracy theories? Like, are they typically the primary source? And then second, I was wondering how much overlap do you see in here with the shooters and incel them and these political extremists, if that overlaps hard?
Let's save that question because I want to define what 4chan, 8chan, Discord, Telegram, and incel, all of these things, and how they sort of come together in this place where violent extremism, foments, marinates,
manifests.
It's a scary corner of the dark interwebs. We'll talk about it more with our special guest this hour, Luke Baumgartner, and each and every one of you, and what we can do about it next, right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842.